Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service here at Beach Hill. It looks like that we have a good number present, considering the situation. And also, we have some that are visiting with us, and we're glad you're here. And we hope that you can return at any and every opportunity you may have. We also have perhaps a good number visiting with us this morning by way of Zoom. If you are, we want you to always know that we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. I'd like to remind everyone about our gospel meeting. It begins September the 12th and runs through the 15th. That's coming up in just about a month from now. Brother B.J. Clark will be here, and he will be preaching at that time. And to my knowledge, I can't remember that if he's preached here or not, but encourage everyone to please make your plans now to attend that gospel meeting and to support it in any way that you can. I have quite a few here that are listed. As I got here this morning, I got a different word on people that were sick and in the hospitals and such. But we also have a large number of our church family that are not in attendance right now because of quarantine. And we need to remember them. It's a stressful time with school and everything. But we pray that we will make it through all of this and be back in a normal situation very soon. Maya Cooper suffered a broken arm this past week in a bicycle accident. Let's continue to remember her in our prayers. Also sick is Randy Grisham. He's sick with the coronavirus. And also Kathy Graves has also tested positive for the virus. So let's continue to remember these two in our prayers. And I know that there are others, perhaps are family members that you know that are suffering from this at this time, and we pray for them. Don Moody, however, he's improving at home, and let's remember him in our prayers. And the report that we got on him was very positive, and we're thankful for that. I'd like to remind the fallen brethren that they will have a part in this evening's worship service: Dustin McMillan, Robert Simpson, and Don Ward. And this morning, Michael Faris will be reading from God's Word, and he'll also have the opening prayer. Ryan Simpson will have the closing prayer. Brother McCarver will have the lesson at the appropriate time. And would everyone please get a song book or join in with our singing, as Will Simpson will be leading us this morning in our singing.
Number 311. Let's all sing the first and last verse of 311.
There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out, ring it out. It will give them courage too. It will help them to be true. Ring it out, ring it out.
Ring it out.
Words to the
sing to the
let from Jesus
hear
you loved and
lost
and ever so loud.
Early
ring
the new
wonderful news
that may
make you free
and free,
happy and free
to all the
rings
of
ring,
ring,
ring the message out. Sin and doubt to sweep away till shall dawn a better day. Ring it out, ring it out. Till the sinful world be won for Jehovah's mighty Son. Ring it out,
ring it out.
Ring it
out.
Turn to number 527. Let's sing the first and last verse of 5:2-7.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows I see billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well.
Let's sing the first and last verse of 5:7-5.
O thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Oh, to grace how great a debt above.
Our scripture reading this morning will come from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for all the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us.
We thank you for allowing us this opportunity to come together this morning to worship you and to study from your word. We ask that everything that is said and done here today would be in accordance to your will. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with those who've been mentioned here this morning. Mia Cooper, she recovers from an accident. We also ask that you would be with Randy Grisham and Kathy Graves as they are suffering from COVID. We ask that you would restore their health. We also ask that you would continue to be with Don Moody as he recovers. We ask that you would be with all of those who've recently lost loved ones and that you would comfort them and strengthen them during this time. Lord, we ask that you be with King this morning as he will deliver another message from your word. Please let him have a ready recollection of what he has prepared. And we ask that we can take this lesson this morning and apply it to our everyday walks of life. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who came to this earth and died upon the cross for our sins. At this time, we ask that you would forgive us of all our many sins. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Song for the lesson this morning will be number 16. We'll sing all three verses, number 16, 1-6.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our songs shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sin fall in thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee.
Song this morning will be number 124. We'll sing the first and last verse of 1, 2, 4.
We're grateful for the presence of all and for those who are able to be a part this morning and listen to the Bible study as shut-ins and able to use the means provided. We're thankful they can be a part of what we're doing today. We remember those who are sick. And some of them may be using the means to be a part of this service, and we want them to know that as we did, we pray for them, and we'll look forward to God's blessings upon them for healing and recovery. We're thankful to these young men who have led us so well in worship this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 is so familiar to you that you probably could quote it simply by hearing the first word. But remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, as found in the King James translation. The King James Version, of course, used the archaic pronouns
That is to say, they use pronouns that we no longer use in everyday language, but we can read the translation and understand that the pronoun thy and those that go with it, such as thou and thine, are singular pronouns referring to the individual. When you see you and your, that represents a plural, a second person pronoun that's being translated. But the reason I say all of that is not to talk about an English lesson, but to speak about how to read the Bible and to understand it. One blessing, one benefit of the archaic pronoun here in this case is that it shows clearly that the emphasis upon the individual, you as an individual, remember your creator. In the days of your youth, that is you as an individual having youthfulness, you know your responsibility for this remembering and for your youth. But there's something else that could be seen in this verse that the one has to see by going to some of the other translations and do some comparison reading. As in the American Standard, New American Standard, the English Standard Version, we have the word also instead of the word now. The King James said, remember now thy creator. But the word is better translated also. Remember also your creator in the days of your youth. That's better because it shows the connection very plainly between verse 1 and what the writer had just said at the end of chapter 11. And that means then that as a good student of the Bible, we want to go back and read the end of chapter 11 to see why he said also at the beginning of chapter 12 that we're to remember certain things and keep them in mind when we hear this charge. Remember also your creator in the days of your youth. I'm speaking primarily this morning for the benefit of the young boys and girls, teenagers, and young adults, and I'll let you decide if you fit into that last group, the young adults or not. But I want to speak primarily for their benefit and begin with the idea that the Bible here is speaking to you in this scripture. If you're in either any of those categories, boys and girls, teenagers, young adults, the Bible is speaking to you in this scripture. Of course, the Bible is speaking to you from Genesis to Revelation. But here there is a mention made of your youth, and God has something special to say to you in this scripture about your responsibility and your opportunity and your life more broadly, because God has this concern for you. I spoke to myself in the preparation of this lesson, and most preachers do, and went over some things that I needed to keep in mind as a speaker. And one question that came to mind was this: how does one who is much older speak to the young about their lives? And certainly it must be answered, first of all, by saying with the teaching of God's word. I have no right to stand before you in this pulpit in a worship service and speak to you out of my own understanding and wisdom, whatever age you may be. It's my responsibility to bring what God's word says that will be helpful to you, young or old, male or female, and Christian or non-Christian. What does God's word have to say? But second, with regard to this specific responsibility this morning, it's incumbent upon any speaker to speak with an understanding of youthfulness. And that is not hard to come by. Whatever age we may be, we have been in these categories, a boy and girl, a teenager, and a young adult. So we have been at these younger ages, and so we have some understanding of that by experience. Many of us are parents and brought up young people, and we haven't lost all memory of the past. But the understanding of youthfulness is something in which we're also guided by God's word. And this is often missed, I think, in the study of this passage. How the writer here is a wise man, shows an understanding of youthfulness. We'll say a little more about that in just a moment. But third, it's always important that we speak with love and goodwill for people's lives whomever we are addressing and whatever word we're bringing from God's word. God's word is meant to be good for people, to bless them. God emphasized through Moses and Deuteronomy chapter 10, as he emphasized through Micah the prophet. Not my words do good for them who hear them. And so we should speak with God's love and God's interest for the good of people's lives. So then when we hear these words, remember your creator in the days of your youth. We want to understand that word of direction in its setting in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we can focus specifically upon some limited verses here. We began at the end of chapter 11. Back up a couple of verses. Chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice, O young man. Young man is a way of speaking in the wisdom literature of the Bible, such as in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, to a youth. Certainly that involves also young ladies, boys or girls, again, teenagers, young adults. So he's speaking to the youth here as represented by this young man, as if a father was speaking to his son, a teacher to his pupil. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. This word vanity is a key word in Ecclesiastes. It's used from the very first chapter, and it has different applications in the book. In this place, it's a way of saying in this context, youth soon passes away. It's very, very fleeting. It may seem like a forever on some summer days that move along very slowly and enjoyably and peacefully, but it soon passes away. So that's a little reminder in the word vanity about how fleeting life is. And it's good. It's wisdom to know that. It's good to know that when you're young. Don't wait till you're much older. And when people are customarily saying, you know, life is just going by so fast, it seems to accelerate. No, know this now as a young person. It's moving fast. And youth moves along very speedily. So that's a fatherly expression. It's a word of wisdom from God through this teacher. That's something you need to know now when you're young. But he said so many things there, didn't he? Look carefully at that. Is he not saying to the young person that youth is a stage of life as God designed life? God created life in this way that you have a period of youthfulness. So why would God be ignored when people are young? If he made this, is it not wise to hear what he has to say about it? To hear what God has to say to us at any age? Would not his guidance benefit those who are young? So a young person can't be anything else but a young person. That's what he is, as God made it. Well, God has something to say to you about being a young person, something that will help you. So listen to him as a young person, and receive his love and goodwill through this instruction for your life as a young person. Now, there are some key words in this passage. In verses 9 and 10, I remind you at the end of chapter 11, there's some key words here. First of all is the word rejoice, he says. One translation says, and says it very well, be happy, young man, while you're young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. That's plainly what he's saying. Whatever translation you read, that brings it out very well, this counsel to the young man. And then he says, walk and know. Notice those key words in the same verse, walk and know. He's speaking to youth about responsibility for his life. You're making choices for how you live your life. That's what the word walk means. You're making choices about what you know, what you will listen to and learn and receive as important for your life. So walk and know. That's a way of emphasizing that you're not a victim of circumstances. God's blessed you with free will and opportunity. And you can choose how you live. And you can choose what you consider to be important to know and how it affects your life. So do not try to think as someone who is much, much, much older. God knows you're a youth. Youthfulness is a part of life as He made it. And so you're to live as a person who is a youth at this time in life. It's a time for growing and learning and making good choices and enjoying life, having this happiness that God is talking about. And there are some things that you can do to make it so much better. This is the counsel of God and this wisdom through this inspired man in the Old Testament. So choose well according to the thoughts and desires of your youthfulness as God made you. This counsel is not permission to sin, of course. I think that it has to be said. Everybody knows that, knows anything about the teaching of the Bible. God doesn't say to young people, go out and do all the sinning you can. God loves you. He doesn't want you to destroy your life. Why would He say that? But He is saying, live as a youth. Don't try to be an old man when you're 15 years old. Don't try to think like somebody who's 80 when you're 18. You're in a stage of life that God has created. And so be happy at that stage of life and make careful choices. Walk and know as you ought to walk and know. And your life will be blessed. You're a moral creature. God made you as a moral creature. You have moral responsibility. So listen to what He says about the way you walk and what you know. What is this an encouragement for? Happiness? Yes. But more fundamentally, wisdom. Kind of wisdom that makes for true happiness in life, even while you are young. There are desires and thoughts, dreams and hopes that are appropriate for the time of youthfulness. Most of us are way past that. But we remember that. And those things were good. To have those thoughts and desires when we were young and dreams and hopes. God made us that way. And that was a time to be happy in those good things that God gave us at that time. And to use them rightly and well. And to make good choices. We couldn't think then as somebody who's 90 years old. God did not intend for us to. We couldn't think then as somebody who had been studying the Bible for 40 years. We hadn't lived 40 years. We were a young person. But God had something to say to us then. And we either received it or we didn't. But we remember that. And we're grateful that God gives this direction to those who are young. Some desires and impulses in youth can be very strong. We know that. And acting on them can lead to results that do not make for happiness. We know that. And God wants young people to be aware of that. But God doesn't say that because you're young, all your desires and impulses are bad. No, God made you as a youth. There's a time in life to be a youth. So we don't blame God for having youthful desires and impulses that He causes us to have. But we thank Him for His direction, the wisdom He gives us about using these things rightly. Notice then two more key words found in the next verse, remove and put away. Might surprise you what He's talking about here. He doesn't begin by saying remove all immorality from your life, put away all evil desires from your life. He really has already said that in the preceding verse. But what He's talking about here is that there are some things that you could do that are just wholly unnecessary. Don't make this mistake. Don't bring unnecessary sadness and pains into your life. Now, there are some young people that have forced upon them circumstances that they cannot help. We've all known stories about some people who were quite heroic in days of youth when parents were lost and some older brother or sister in a family rose to the occasion. and had to act and live as someone much older than he or she was for the good of younger brothers and sisters. Or it may have been other circumstances that forced that situation in families. There have been others who have been sufferers of abuse in their own homes and families. And they certainly are true victims in youth. But he has a word of encouragement to these people too. God recognizes those situations. And even in those situations, God's love for them and his blessings and direction for their lives can be an encouragement to them. Remember the word vanity? Those things too will pass away. Passage of time. Those things too will be gone. And so God is aware of that, and he will help these people in those difficult times. If they'll look to him, he's bidding them to look to him. But more generally, he's saying to all young people, there are some things to remove and to put away. Let me give you a list of some things that are harmful, self-destructive. Perhaps some young people need to hear. Don't be down on yourself as a person or pessimistic about your prospects. It's very sad that there are people who would try to induce that feeling in youths, to make them feel that way about themselves. That's evil. It's a great wrong to lead young boys and girls to think that way about themselves. So if that influence is something that is impinging upon your life, resist it. God hasn't bound you to receive that influence, to make you pessimistic about yourself and about your prospects, and always be down upon yourself. Second, don't see yourself as a victim under life sentence to be a victim. You may be suffering from something right now that you have no control over and cannot escape from. God is aware of that. God will help you. Trust in him. Pray to him. Wait for his goodness and his deliverance. God will deliver you from those difficulties. Third, don't remain focused on the disappointments, the limitations, and the bad in life. All of us experience those things. All of us. We did from youth, and we do today as adults. The love of God and the gospel of Christ lead us to see that we cannot center on those things if we're to receive God's blessings with joy and be of service to him and be of any worth to those around us. So don't focus on the disappointments, the limitations, and the bad. We're aware of that reality in life, but we cannot allow that reality to dominate our thinking. What is to dominate our thinking then? Well, Paul in his letters speaks to Christians about some things he's aware of in them for which he's grateful. He speaks of their faith and their love and their knowledge, their understanding of those truths that is evident in their lives, these qualities of faith and love and knowledge. Now, here's a place to focus then upon these blessings to which the gospel leads us. Then fourth, don't be a critic and a judge. Don't become that. Don't see that to be your role in life. There's some young people that are led into that, somehow stumble into it, as thinking that what their role in life is always to be a critic and to judge of their peers and of other people. And that's not good. God will give you wisdom to see all things as you ought to see it. He gives that through his word. But it's not your responsibility to set yourself up as a critic and a judge in life. You need to draw near to God with all humility and faith, to find his direction and glorify and serve him and be a blessing to other people, not their critic and their judge. And fifth, don't live life only as a spectator. Now, we're all observers, and we need to observe more carefully. We need to listen better and see better. But God has given us life, and he wants us to be fully engaged in life according to our powers and our opportunity. and the blessings and privileges he gives us. So a day of life, as hopefully you've been encouraged by parents and other good influences, is a blessing from God. Use it. Rejoice in his love and blessings and the good things he's brought to you. Use the day in a way that honors him as the giver of those good things and is good and for your life and the good of those around you. Youth, then, is a time for youthful thoughts and ways, but it's also a stage for growing and maturing. So those who are young, living as God intends for you to live when you're young, should at the same time be growing as God intends for you to grow, not just physically, but in every other way. It's a time in life for choosing wisely and well and building a life that will be good and happy way beyond the time of your youth. As I said a moment ago, that youth will soon be over. Then what? What will you have done in youth to find that happiness, the kind of happiness that will be with you for the rest of your life, happiness that comes from God by his direction and wisdom? Now, that's what the writer said before he got to remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. That's important. The word also says that's important. Now we see something about what he means when he says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. While you're enjoying all these blessings as God made you, and he mentioned God there in verse 9, there's a special remembrance you ought to have for God. Then what did he say after that? That's verses 1 through 8. You know basically what he says in verses 1 through 8? You will grow older and older and older if you live. You won't always be young, but now you are young. Here's what you need to do now, but God willing, you'll grow older. And the time for doing what you were supposed to do when you're young, that'll be gone. That will be past. What God wanted you to do when you were young. So now is the time to do these things God wants you to do, to be what God wants you to be as a youth. So then remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Here's an obvious concern and love that's voiced in this statement, not just by the writer, but by God who inspired him to write these words. God's love and concern for you as a youth. Why is it that there is the possibility of forgetting or ignoring God when one is young? Is it not because there are so many influences that lead and draw young people away from God? Is that not why Christian parents have such concern for their children and talk to them about these things? Where do these influences come from? They come from the media. They come from the world of entertainment. They come from peers. They come from powerful institutions that have their ways of exerting influence in a society. They come from just the culture itself. All the opportunities that are there, all that's available, all these things speak with a voice. And many of them draw people away from God. Be thankful that you have people that have that concern for you. Be thankful you have a God who has that concern for you. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Your Creator. He made you in his image. That ought to give you an understanding of your value, what you are in this world. You're not some kind of fluke in the universe, a chance item that's out there across the vast expanse of space. You're not a mistake. You're a human being made in the image of God. He is your Creator. That is your personal Creator as an individual. And that's how you ought to see it, this writer says. Remember thy Creator, your Creator as an individual. Think on him and think about what that means about your life as something very important in the sight of God who made you. Where you came from, yes, that's what's being said in verse 1. He's creator. And where you're going, as he mentions in verse 7, the spirit returns to God who gave it. Our body returns to the dust from which it came. Be thankful that there are those who care about your life and who have directed you toward God, whoever they may have been. Parents who love God and are concerned about you and love you. Perhaps others in your family. Perhaps friends. Perhaps people in the church. Perhaps someone who would speak such a lesson as this to you from a pulpit or in a classroom. Be thankful for that. And be thankful to him who has given you life and blessed you and will continue to bless you. That's why you need to know him. That's a remembrance of your creator, to know him and never forget him. And in knowing him, to know his son, the best of all good things that God has given you. This is life eternal, said Jesus in praying to the Father. This is life eternal. Now, life doesn't get any better than that. To have that life that is truly the good life in this world, that life that is spiritual and everlasting, and someday to enjoy it with God forever and ever. Jesus said, this is it, life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and him whom you sent, even Jesus Christ. John 17 and verse 3. That's a relationship. It's knowledge, yes, but it's a relationship. To learn of God and learn of his son and to draw near to God through his son. That's what the gospel is about. To bring you by the love and the grace and the mercy and kindness of God to himself through Jesus Christ. So that, yes, parents and other people rejoice when a young person in their family confesses Christ and is baptized into him for the forgiveness of their sins. Yes, they rejoice at the evidence of such faith and repentance. And they will do anything, give anything. So will we all in the church to help that young person to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let us stand and sing.
So Lord, I sing, he will create a new, make whole again your empty wasted years. He will restore, and your iniquities remember no more. Blessed Savior of us all, almighty friend, his presence shall be ours unto the end. Without him life would be
To help prepare our mind for the Lord's Supper this morning, let's sing the first and last verse of number 107. First and last verse, 107.
Oft we come together, oft we sing and pray. Oh.
Partake of the Lord's Supper. Let's bow to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for everything you've done for us. We are thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. We are thankful that he came to this earth to be our perfect sacrifice. At this time, as we go through this remembrance, we pray that you would bless this bread, which represents his body on the cross. We pray that we will all take of it in a pleasing manner. In Christ's name, amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, as we continue in this time of remembrance of Jesus Christ and him crucified, we pray that you would bless this fruit of vine, which represents Jesus' blood shed on the cross for our sins. We pray that we will continue in this, take of this in a pleasing manner. In Christ's name, amen. Let's pray again. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for the blessings that we have while we are here on this earth. At this time, we have an opportunity to give back to you as you have blessed us. We pray that this will be used to further spread thy kingdom here on earth and ultimately in heaven someday. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Again, we'd like to thank everyone for being here this morning, especially our visitors. We want you to know that we'd like you to come back and worship with us any opportunity that you have. And we'd also like to thank King for another fine lesson this morning. Our closing song this morning will be number 288, and we'll sing the first verse only. Would you stand, please?
When my way groweth weary, precious Lord,
I am tired. Father, we're thankful for today, this time of Bible study earlier this morning, and this time of congregation as we've gathered together to give you worship. We pray that the things that we've done today have been pleasing in your sight, and these sacrifices of praises that we have offered have been pleasing to your ears. We have brought honor to you, and we reflected on your word, and we have let it penetrate our hearts, and we have let it change us. We're very mindful of those that we have mentioned earlier in prayer and by announcements that are home because of sickness, and those who are quarantined for concerns of being exposed, maybe. We pray for them all. And we pray for those who have been shut in for many months. We pray for us all here at Beach Hills. We strive to be the people that we should according to your word. And we look out for one another. We love one another. We're always looking to serve each other. And in doing that, we are pleasing you. We know that. But we pray as we leave this place of worship that we go out into our workplaces and school and be the example that we should. We have definitely been challenged by this lesson from your word from King this morning. And that we realize that no matter what age we are, there is work to be done. There are things that we can do to serve you, to influence others. We pray that we'll be good Bible students, and that we'll always honor you with the lives that we live and the way that we treat others. Thank you for the blessings in Christ. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave your son, and that Jesus' obedience to your plan, that he came and died. Be with us as we leave now. Give us a safe trip home, and be ready to be back tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.